Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Are you ready to move forward in the Word of God? I am excited. We have a great word this morning. We had spent time on yesterday in Ezekiel. Whew. And we got to say, God don't play. God does not play what he say he gonna do. He does. Come on now. We got to understand. We serve an awesome and a mighty God. But I say this, for the Lord, for with the Lord, there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. Yes, God will chastise us. Yes, God will take us to a place where we're like, Lord, I don't think I can go through another day longer. But with God, all things are possible. God will take us through. God will take us to. And God will help us to get it. We got to get it. And what we got to get is faith. Mustard seed faith that God can and will provide. I know there are those that need help, need more help than their families realize, need more help than any realize, but God. And I say this from experience. He will make a way out of no way. He will take you where you need to go. All you have to do is believe that he can and that he will be there for you. I believe that my best is yet to come. I believe that my daddy God has cattle on a thousand hills with my name on it. I'm believing that my daddy God is there for my children. He's there for my church. He's there for my mother, who is so important to me. That my father God is there for all my children. And I'm thankful. And I'm grateful, and I'm blessed that God has abundant mercy, abundant redemption, that even in our darkest, he will bring us through. Even when we have our unbelief, he will bring us through. Father God in heaven, I'm thankful today. In this week of Thanksgiving, God, I give you thanks every day. I am thankful, I'm grateful, and I'm blessed to be called a child of God. I'm thankful, I'm grateful, I'm blessed that you have called me out of the mist, God, that you called me and you brought me back to you when I had forgotten who I was, when I had forgotten that I was a child of God and that you watched over me and that you have been with me since I was a baby. That you have been with me through my ups, through my downs. That you have brought me through danger. That you have brought me through what could have been my life. But you said not today. I'm thankful as I get ready to end to share your will on this side of the earth, that you brought me through, that you saved my life so many times. I could have been dead from childhood to adulthood, but you've been there for me. And all I can say is thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy and your love toward me. Thank you, God. And I praise you this morning, God, giving you honor, giving you glory, and giving you hallelujah praise. Thank you, Lord, all you've done for all of us, God. I pray for every listener this morning, God. Those that have to travel, Lord, I ask you to please get them safely to their destination. Whether they're traveling by plane, train, or automobile, or by water, God, I ask you to get them safely to their destination. And God, I pray for those that are homeless, Lord God, and may feel helpless, that you, Lord God, will have a meal ready with their name on it. I ask you, Lord God, to just give them strength, give them wisdom, give them hope in the future, Lord. And Father God, I thank you this morning for this mighty word that will go forth. May it go forth in excellence. And Lord God, as always, I pray that you increase as I decrease. And Lord God, let the words of my mouth, meditation of my humble heart, be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength, and you are my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thankful, grateful, and blessed this morning, family. As we go through our Psalm, Proverbs, and Old Testament, we'll be in Ezekiel again. But we're going to start today in our Psalms, and then our Proverbs, then we will be in Ezekiel. And if time permits, we will be in Hebrews. So starting in the 129th Psalm, starting at verse number 8. So get your Bible. So we'll be in the 129th Psalm, starting at verse 5 through 8, 130th Psalm, Proverbs 28, starting at verse 27 through through chapter 29, verse 1. So let's get started, family. Starting in our Psalm. Let all those who hate Zion be put to shame and turned back. Let them be as the grass on thy hilltop, which withers before it grows up, with which the reaper does not feel his hand, nor he who binds sheaves his arms. Neither let those who pass by them say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. And as we go to our Psalm chapter 130, and it starts with this, and it's a song of ascent. And it says, out of the depth I have cried to you, O Lord. Have we all been in those places where we have been in the depths of our sorrow, in the depths of our need, in the depths of just more time with God? Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquity, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. We got to fear God. We got folks walking around like they bigger than God. No one is bigger than God. And our title is coming from this word this morning. It says, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits. And in his word, I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. And with him is abundant redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. God is our Redeemer. He loves us more than we love ourselves. We've got to thank God this morning for his grace and his mercy and the redemption that can only come from him. Hallelujah. Through our Savior, Jesus Christ. We've got to be grateful. We've got to be thankful, knowing that we are blessed to be sons and daughters of the Most High. Proverbs 28, starting at verse 27. He who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses. How many times, take a look at yourself, did you walk by people in need and turn your head? Well, I know they scam us. I'm speaking for me. But you don't know what somebody's going through. You don't know what somebody's going through. As we turn our heads, we're going to be accountable to God. Because it says, when the wicked arise, men hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase. We don't want to be wicked. We want to be righteous. We want to be redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Proverbs 29:1, he who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Think they better than God, better step back and take some reality medication, because nothing and no one is better than God. Please join me in Ezekiel chapter 33. And we'll be reading Ezekiel chapter 33 through chapter 34, verse 31. And God, time permit, we'll be in James chapter 2. And it says again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman. When he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. And when we read this on yesterday, it was like, okay, God lets us know what's coming. You know, and he says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turns from his way and live. And that's Ezekiel 33 and 11. God does not want to judge anyone. He pleads with us to turn from our wicked ways and to return to him with all our heart and all our soul. God will never reject anyone with a truly repentant heart. God wants our redemption. He wants us to know who we are and that we belong to him. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 32. They hear your words, but they do not do them. And, you know, we talked about this also on yesterday. The New Testament tells us that the King Herod feared John the Baptist and heard him gladly. But that didn't stop him from getting all hot and bothered and taking his head. It says, until he killed him, Mark chapter 6. It says, many people have their favorite preachers. The point, however, is not merely hearing, but doing. And we read that on Friday in James chapter 1. You know, and as we go through these life lessons, which is what we're doing today, catching up on the life lessons from yesterday. And it's like, wow, God. And then he tells us in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 31, you are my flock. You are my flock, the flock of my pasture. You are men, and I am your God, says the Lord God. We are his flock. He wants to redeem us. He has abundant redeemment, and his mercy endures forever. And it says, in both testaments, God calls his people his flock. Why? For one thing. It's a term of enjoyment and a picture of close personal connection. For another, it reveals our total dependence upon him. Third, it honors him as our guide. The Lord does what he does with us for our benefit. He feeds us what he knows will give us health. He makes us lie down when we would rather keep moving. He is the good and great shepherd. And we saw that when we read John chapter 10. And we're going to go back to our Proverbs and some life lessons from it. And for those that are just joining us, life lessons, life questions, come from Dr. Charles Stanley. For we are coming out of the Bible that Dr. Stanley wrote commentary for, and it's called the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And I can say this is a great Bible to have for your daily meditation. It's a great Bible to have just in your biblical arsenal. Because I would say in my heart, Dr. Stanley is a true, true man of God. He loves God, and he preaches from his heart. And that heart is a heart of love for God and for God's people. So I thank God for Dr. Stanley today and for this awesome Bible. And again, I'm not paid by InTouch Ministry, not paid by any ministry of Dr. Stanley. This is just my heart thanking him for the use of this Bible, for this Bible study. For it is magnificent, and he is magnificent. And I am grateful that I have listened and learned, and just am grateful for Dr. Stanley. So let's keep moving in our word. It says this in our psalm that we read this morning. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and his word I do hope. In his word I do hope. This word that we open every day. What does it say? I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. I get up every morning, open this word. It does something to my soul. And I pray that it does something to yours as well. It says God does not spring into action on our timetable. He's not going to do it. He is not an ATM. He is not a time machine. He is God, and he is over everything. He gives as he feels you deserve. In fact, he often waits to the very last moment to intervene, and that is so true. Why? Waiting is God's training ground for building strong faith. As we wait, we learn to trust God. We got to wait on the Lord. You know, I know there's someone that needs right now. God will provide. He will show you all your resources to do what you need to do. You just got to do it. But you also have to have discipline. God wants us to have discipline. He wants us to understand that he is in charge, not us. Stand on his word. That he has mercy for us. But with the Lord, there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. He will redeem us from our mistakes. He will help us get through. Why? Because he loves us. And as we go into a life question from our psalm, and it says this, have you ever sat down in a quiet place with the Bible? Yeah, I have. Ready to have a devotional time with the Lord, but you felt anxious. Maybe you flipped through the pages and finally settled on a song. So then you remembered another appointment. Come on now, we're speaking the truth. So you said a quick prayer and told yourself you would pray more later, but it never happened. You're not alone. If you feel frustrated with the quality of your quiet time, as much as you may desire real intimacy with your personal Savior, however, remember that he longs for it even more. James 4:8 promises, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. It helps many people to get some direction on how to develop a close walk with Christ. Specific goals can help you to focus on his word daily. And what God did for me was gave me this blog. And he said, every day, Saturday you can sleep in, it's the Sabbath, you need to rest. But you still got to spend some time with me. But it's your alone time with me. This is time with God. Don't let distractions take you away from listening to the word of God, from feeling what God is saying in his word. That's why I do this, because it's my assignment. It's my time with God that God says share. And so I'm sharing my time with God with you. And it tells us in this word that Dr. Stanley tells us, it helps many people to get some direction on how to develop a close walk with Christ. Specific goals can help you to focus on his word daily. 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. I will be on Blog Talk Radio. Me and God are going to come together and give this word. But it's not my word. It's his word. That's why I pray every day that he increases as I do too. And it says, first select a plan that fits your lifestyle and level of understanding. Remember, spending time with God will almost never just fit in to your daily routine. You must schedule and then jealously guard your time with God. The more you honor that appointment, the greater you will desire to protect it and the greater your enrichment. I'm praising God right now because I look forward to my time with God and with you. And it says, have you ever run across puzzling words or passages? Absolutely. Instead of waiting until later to consider the issue, sit down with a Bible dictionary and concordance or other study aids. You may not resolve your question completely, but seeking its truth on your own can spur amazing growth. Maybe you cannot afford to purchase your own Bible study tools. Never give up. Seek other options. A lot of good Bible reference material is available free on the Internet. Some churches have libraries where you can borrow what you need, as do selected public libraries. Ask your pastor or church associate if they have materials you may use. Most people find the body of Christ eager to help in this pursuit. As you read the Bible, have a notebook and be ready to write a spiritual journal. Some people record their daily prayers, leaving a space to describe how God answered them. You may prefer a format in which you write down a special verse and describe why it impacted you. If you have quiet at the journal, maybe before you know what a treat is to see a reminder of your spiritual journey. Are you ready for a relationship with Jesus that knows no boundaries? Then open your time, your life, your heart, and expect the Lord's empowerment. And all I can say is thank you. I've gone back and looked over some things and said, wow, God, you answered that prayer. You heard me. Thank you. We got to tell God, thank you for answered prayers. You can't just go to God and say, Lord, I need, I need, I need. And when he responds with a yes and provides, do you tell him thank you? So we got to tell God, thank you. And as we get into our New Testament word this morning, I got a little carried away yesterday and went into Ezekiel for today. And that's why we're not in Ezekiel. We just did an overview because the word was just so good yesterday that I got a little carried away. But I'm grateful because it was good. And as we go into our New Testament word for this morning, My brother, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. But if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you stand here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there, or stand here at my footstool, have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Come on now. We better talk about it. Truly, we better talk about it. Because you never know when you may be entertaining angels on the earth. You have to be fine. But you have to also be cautious. Because there are those that come into the house of God who have spirits that are not godly. And you have to watch as well as pray. You can't just take for granted that someone is going to be safe, because they may not be. They may have some wicked intentions. But not the poor person. It may be the rich one. You got to be careful and ask God for discernment. And he says, this, listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? And I've seen people that don't have anything pray, and I mean serious, fervent prayer. And I've watched God bless them. I've seen God elevate them. Because, and they never stop praying. Even as the blessings flowed, they never stop interceding for their family, interceding for their friends, interceding for just the stranger on the street. And that's what we have to have, regardless of your status. The statuses can change. You can be wealthy today and poor tomorrow. And I mean church mouth poor. But that doesn't mean that God forsakes you. It just means that he needed your attention. God wants our attention. And then it says, but you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Come on now. Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus spoke it, that we love God and we love each other. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. And these two has all the laws of the prophets. We got to love each other. We got to love our neighbor. And we can't get caught up in the rhetoric of today. And I'm going to say this. Politics does not belong in the pulpit. Whether you dislike this one or love that one, it does not matter. It doesn't belong in the pulpit. But what belongs in the pulpit is that you take care of the poor. You take care of God's people. That's what God has told us. Love him, love each other. Not to be judges of everybody. Not to be all up in folks' private business. That is not our job. Our job is to pray. Our job is to intercede. Our job is to lift up. It is God who brings redemption. We are to have mercy. Because God had mercy on us. Who are we to put people on pedestals? The only thing is, do not get caught up in the rhetoric thing where you put people above God. You'll go to a political rally before you go to church. You'll talk about a political figure more than you talk about Jesus. That's where the problems come in. But you don't need to bring it into the pulpit, except for to save the congregation Let God lead you. That's it. We got to be so very careful what we allow in God's house. Jesus said, my Father's house shall not be a den of thieves, but a house of prayer. And it's like pulling teeth to get people to come to prayer meetings. To just come for 1 hour to pray, it's like pulling teeth. Because all kind of things come up. Just as Dr. Stanley was talking about, our time with God, how we get, oh, I got to go here. I got to do that. I got this appointment. I got that appointment. I may not make it, but I'll be praying. You got to make a concerted effort to pray and to fulfill our obligations to God. And I'm going back to our scripture, verse number 8 of James chapter 2. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well, but if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. But whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. But he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. But judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy trumps our judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Again, mercy triumphs over judgment. God had mercy on us, and we got to have mercy on others. What does it profit, my brother, if someone says he has faith but does not have work? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warm and fed, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does that profit? Be warm, be fulfilled, as you walk out with no coat. But I got two. But I don't want to give you one because I like both my colors. And that way I can change up. So if I want to wear my blue one today, I can wear my black one tomorrow. But you don't have a coat. And I send you on off your way without a coat in the snow. Come on, be warm. I'm praying for you, sweetheart. I have a refrigerator full of food. And you come hungry. But, well, I got company coming in. I don't want to really get that up there. I just, here's some water. And you hear the summer calling. But you don't want to share what you got. Because I might need it. As you throw away food on a regular basis. Come on now. I don't know I'm preaching to you. Probably myself, because God always starts with us. But God is telling us that we have got to do what's right in his sight and take care of each other. And it's, and this is what James tells us, that's also faith by itself. If it does not have works, it's dead. I can have all the faith in the world that God's going to keep you warm and full. But if I don't do my part when I can, then I'm just talking. Yeah, I have faith, but I have no work. I have not gone to work. I have not done for anybody but myself, and I will be held accountable. And it comes on the test, but someone will say, you have faith and I have work. Show me your faith without your work, and I will show you my faith by my work. Come on now. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works and by works faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Hallelujah. Does God call you his friend today? Are you a friend of God? You see, then, that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? But understand, she sent them out another way, but they told her, you got to do something too. When we get ready to attack this city, put this red cord that you let us down with. Hang it out of your window. Hang it so we can see it, so we will protect your family. But if the cord's not there, you're going to die like everybody else. So what if Rahab had not put her cord out, had not done what she was told? She would not be in the lineage of Christ today. But because she was obedient and she helped God's people, I know who you belong to. You are of God. Your God is powerful. She was not dumb. She believed in our God and that he could save her family. And when she helped his people, they helped her. Her family. And she is one of the five women mentioned in the lineage of God. Come on. Faith and works go together. What is the word that says? A man that does not work does not eat. And we want to eat of the goodness of the word of God. We want to be filled with his mercy and his abundant redemption. But we got to go to work for God. So whatever your capacity, do what you can to help others. And it tells us, likewise was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messages and sent them out another way? The answer is yes. But the body without the spirit is dead. So faith without works is dead also. James, the brother of Christ, probably saw some things, saw some miracles, saw some signs, saw some wonders. And he understood, I didn't want to believe who my brother was. Even though my mother and my father talked about his miraculous conception, talked about not being able to find a place to lay their heads, and him being born in a stable, laid in a manger, that they had to flee to Egypt when babies were being murdered to save his brother's life. I'm sure James is like, that's just Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. It's just he a little different. You know, he's my older brother. He a little different. And he watched them do things for helping people, even as a child. When they couldn't find him, he was in the temple with the elders, teaching and learning. And then he told their mother that he was about his father's business. And I'm sure James was like, our dad's a carpenter. What business does he have in the temple with the elders? And then, as he died on the cross, James understood who his brother was and how important he was. And he got changed his life, and he became a rabbi. But understand, James was also martyred as a brother. James died gone out of the temple walls of Moses. We got to understand that we all have work to do. For God, we live and for God we die. That should be the name of the Lord. We got to understand who we are. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. Thank God that we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And that is all I have this morning. We will have a blog tomorrow. I will be teaching all this week. We will not have a break on Thanksgiving. I still will be doing our blog Thanksgiving Day. You know, I will continue doing what I do for God. The only time we will not have a show, excuse me, is on Saturday. Or if God tells me I can't do it. Because he's got something else for me to do. So I thank all of you for tuning in this morning. I know we were a little light show, not a 4 hour, but I can only give what God gives me. So I thank God for all of you. I thank God that you tuned in. I ask him to watch over you, to keep you covered. And I pray, Father God in heaven, I ask you to continue watching over your children. Continue taking us where we need to go in you, God, that we will never forget who we belong to, and that is to you, in Jesus' name. I have a few prayers from our 365 days of prayer, and the first is coming out of Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. CPT version, it says, let every activity of your life and every word that comes from your lips be drenched with the beauty of our Lord Jesus, the anointed one, and bring your constant praise to God the Father because of what Christ has done for you. Father, I come to you with a heart full of gratitude today. When I list the ways you have faithfully showed up time and again in my life with your consistent love, I am overwhelmed, God. May everything I do, every word that comes out of my mouth, point people to your faithfulness. Your goodness is beyond what I could begin to describe, but I'll try. Your kindness always leads me back to you when I have started to drift. Of course, you have never let go of me or let me down, even when I was sure that you had disappointed me. You gave me a perspective that showed your incredible love in a new way. There is no one like you. You are perfect in how you care for me, knowing exactly what I need when I need it. You never let jealousy overtake your sense. You are patient in love. I could go on forever and in eternity. I will, for now, let the overflow of gratitude in my heart be enough. Whew, what a word. And another word, also from James chapter 5, which we'll be getting to from the NK, the New King James Version, it says, the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will rise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. God's mercy and redemption. It says, Lord, fill my heart afresh with the liquid love of your presence. Fill me to overflowing. I receive all that you offer, knowing that you are the supply I reach for throughout my day. The more I have, the more there is to give. Lord, you are the hope of my heart, of every longing, dream, and desire. You have not forgotten the promises you have spoken. You won't go back on your word. God never goes back on his word. When God says he will do. All you got to do is ask the children of Israel in the time of Ezekiel, in the time of Daniel, in the time of Nehemiah, in the time of Isaiah, everything he said he would do, he did it. And some of what he said he would do was harsh, but it happened. Hezekiah, letting the Babylonians come on in, see what I got. I got this, I got that, I got all of these things. And when the prophet asked him, what did you show them? Everything. But he didn't really worry about it because he knew he would be dead by the time they went into captivity. We got to be careful what we allow people to see in our life. It says, my soul is encouraged when I look over my life and see how you have shown up at every stage. What a wonderful tapestry of love and redemption you are weaving. Even now I can feel my faith being strengthened as I remember what you have already done. I see your faithfulness, Lord. It is undeniable. Do it again, Lord. Heal the sick, mend the broken, raise the dead. Your ways are impossibly good. I can believe that God can heal the sick. I believe that God can change a lifespan. I believe that God can do all things but fail. And I believe that righteous prayer avail much. And our word for this morning, what better gift? Isaiah 11:2, NASB. The spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and strength, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Ever-present one, I can't begin to tell you how thankful I am that your spirit is in me. The constant presence that brings comfort when no one else even knows that my heart is grieved feels too good to be true. The wisdom I am searching for is found in the one who is already dwelling with me. Every tool I need to know the Lord and every act on God's part in my life is done through fellowship with the Spirit. You are the light inside of me. Any compassion I have or look for is found in you. A million thank yous for the way you are consistently with me would not even stretch the surface of my true debt of gratitude. I am so grateful. I get to do life with you. And I got to add an eternal life with you. You are the best gift I could not even imagine to ask for. What beauty is found in companionship with you. And I spoke this earlier. I look back over my life and I think of all the times I could have been dead and gone. But God, hit by a car at 7, fallen so many times I can't say, fell on ice and hit my head. I had to wear a patch over my head. They had to cut my head to stitch it. Could have died that day. But God, car accident, only thing saving me from going over a guardrail was the guardrail. God went over an embankment on the side of my car. Could have died that night. Split on ice, went airborne. And the only thing I could think to say was Jesus. And God was there, wrapping me in his arms. All I felt was this warmth and cloud. Some would say, oh, it was just the airbag. No, it was my angel. It was my angel, my guardian angel, wrapped me in arms. I felt the warmth of God cover me. Don't tell me what God can do. And what a gift it is to be a child of God. How many times have you seen a loved one sick and God made them well? Don't tell me what God can't do. How you may have been without, and God provided everything you needed. Everything. I believe and I have faith that all things are possible for Christ. That God who gives us strength will come through at every time. That God's mercy and redemption are abundant. And all I can say today is thank you, Lord, for your mercy and for your grace. And some things to think about today as we get ready to wrap up. We'll have a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And then we will be wrapping up. And it says, when you consider God's goodness at work in your life, how does that make you think about the future? Something to think about. How can you thank God for his goodness today? Just start listing all the wonderful things he's done for you. From life. God has given us life. Abundant life. As the song says, overwhelming, overcoming. More than I can say, he's given me life. And for our word for today, what better gift? How does walking with the Spirit enrich your life? Think that through today. And thank God for that light that shines in each and every one of you. The light of the Holy Spirit that can only come from God. I thank you, Lord, for your mercy this morning, for your grace, and for your love. And as we get ready to wrap up, a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, did not send her word yet this morning. But we'll just go and have a couple of words from this weekend that I know will bless us. And the one is, when one door shuts, believe God for a better one to open. Trust that everything has a purpose in your life. And again, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. And our word from yesterday is Colossians 3:2. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And we have set our affections on our Father God, who is above. And he loves us more than anything. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And for those that are traveling this week, for Thanksgiving with family and friends, may the Lord keep you. May his light shine upon you. May he give you grace and mercy, that all things will work in for your good this week. That all those Thanksgiving dinners are going well. And if you need food, that someone will provide it. Be blessed, family. It's a wrap. Why? Because this girl's got to go to work. I love you all. Be blessed and have a great day. If time permits, please join me tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. I will be here, God willing. Have a great day. It's a wrap.